From theunts.com, this is the Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com. 58 Degrees, the title track from Mimosa's brand new EP. Hello and welcome to the Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. Joining me on the program this week is Tigran Mimosa himself, a very young producer who has made quite a splash in the West Coast bass music scene in just a few short years. Mimosa grew up in both LA and San Francisco, getting into electronic music through the Bay Area's popular psytrance scene, but cutting his teeth on the dubstep, drum and bass, and the hip-hop fusion he found when he started going to Burning Man as a 15-year-old. Tell you what, if I started going to Burning Man in my middle teenage years, I'd be dead, in jail, or both by now. Mimosa, though, has quickly risen through the ranks of today's touring DJs, and at the end of this week, he'll be headlining Irving Plaza in New York, along with Sleepyhead and Michael Mennert, in the midst of his enormous cross-country tour. His latest EP, 58 Degrees, came out last week. Let's get to the interview. I'm always curious about artists' introduction to and exploration of music. I wonder, you grew up in Oakland. What were you listening to as a kid?
A lot of hip-hop. My first album that my mom, or my first CD that my mom ever bought me was Life is Too Short by Too Short.
A classic.
Yeah, I love that album, and it was my first introduction to like big 808s and hip hop beats and all that. I was just mainly into like Tupac, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, a lot of the West Coast sound, and Biggie, obviously so talented. And I moved to San Francisco. Actually, I was into all that music when I was in LA, and I moved to San Francisco when I was about 13 or 14 years old, and started going to psytrance parties actually at the time with my stepsister, who's really big into the scene, and it just kind of blew my world because it was so different. And that's what I was into for a while. And then I went to Burning Man for the first time when I was 15 or so.
That's quite young.
Yeah, it was quite an experience. I've actually been going every year since. It's a great place to explore music and check out a lot of the West Coast underground culture.
And so you were inspired by all the other stuff you had seen on the West Coast to jump in. When you did get started, which was still pretty young, you started at 17, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Were you caught in the psytrance and thinking about that, or was it just like, you know, your world was changed?
Yeah, not really. I was just kind of, you know, I just realized that you could combine the two, like the electronic aspect with the like urban hip hop kind of sound. And that's just really what I was going for. I wasn't trying to sound like anyone. I was just kind of trying to make this like kind of breakbeaty, like mellow hip hop beats with these melodic kind of electronic sounds on top of it. And yeah, that's kind of how it all started.
So you started out in LA, you moved to the Bay Area, which is pretty much the epicenter of this big new bass music movement. How does that contrast with the scene right now in LA? You're back in LA, correct?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I live in Echo Park. It's different, man. I mean, there's so many talented people in California, in Northern and Southern California, and it's just different. It's a little bit more urban influence in Los Angeles, and San Francisco is a little bit more, I want to say, tribal or something like that, but they're different. I love them both for what they are, yeah.
Would you say that sort of crunk sound is a lot more evident in L.A., where they're getting maybe a little bit more psychedelic and spiritual on the San Francisco side of things, but more or less moving in the same direction?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, there's just more people doing it in LA, I think, just kind of going for that more hip-hop sound, I think. I mean, I can't say that for sure. There's so many, you know, there's just so many different people doing lots of different things that I respect in Northern Southern California, so it's just kind of hard to say.
Thank you. Stairway from Mimosa's latest EP, 58 Degrees. Let's talk about your live show. You're in the midst of just an enormous tour right now. It looks like you've got 40, 50 dates in a row. How do you make sure you don't go crazy just playing your music over and over again, but also getting up every day and doing it all over again? It's got to be grueling.
Yeah, I mean, I try to keep it interesting. I always pace myself, you know, like I don't really party when I'm out, and try to just keep focused on what I'm doing and what I'm here for. And yeah, I always try to change it up, you know, as it goes on. I keep my own music in there and make sure that everybody hears all the new material, but at the same time have all this other room that I could, you know, play all my friends' music or things that I'm really into. So I like to vary it up like that by changing all the other music around my own and keeping the sets interesting.
You're sort of in the midst of a southern swing right now, moving through Missouri and into Georgia. Do you find audiences differ across the country, or thanks to the internet and Facebook, your crowds are all there because they desire that Mimosa sound and they're not trying to catch one particular sound over another? It's just all about you and what you're bringing.
I mean, I think people are generally, people are there for, you know, they know what they're getting into. They're like there to go see Mimosa or whatever. And I don't know. I mean, sometimes people are just out to have parties. It's always different. I mean, I guess in the West Coast and all that, or anywhere that I play more of like a theater kind of style of a venue, it's more about the music and that experience. And I guess when I play at clubs, it's sometimes you get the random people who are just there to party and have a couple drinks and have fun, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's always different. I don't know.
On that same sort of tip, you got a big headlining date at the Fillmore in New York. Do you prepare differently for those bigger showcase performances, especially on, you know, this is an East Coast performance, it's a bigger setting, and, you know, they may not be exactly familiar with your sound. Do you even not think about it because you're going out there night after night playing in these new clubs and new theaters across the country, and it's just one more show?
Yeah, I mean, for the bigger shows, I try to do a little something special, you know, like sometimes I'll have live elements that I'll perform live, and in the clubs, I'll generally just DJ more, and yeah, it's always different. I mean, if it's a big headlining show, I always try to provide a little bit of a special experience. Sure.
I know it's hard to think about since you're already so deep in this tour, but are there any festival plans that have already popped up that you're already looking forward to? I mean, summer's not too far away, and some of the bigger festivals are already announced their lineups, and Mimosa's popping up here and there.
Yeah, I don't really know, man. Honestly, I just take it day by day. Like, I don't even know where we're going tomorrow. that's kind of how I keep my head saying, you know, I'm just here in the moment. But I mean, I know we're doing Lightning in a Bottle. I know we're doing Lightning in a Bottle for sure, though. That's just something that came up recently today.
Party from Mimosa right here on the UNTS Podcast.
I'd like to talk about your new EP, 58 Degrees. First of all, when did you even have time to put this together? It seems like you're constantly touring, always on the road.
Yeah, I was on, my last tour was 3 months long. I didn't get a moment to myself for 3 months, so I actually didn't have any studio time in all that time, so I had all this bottled up energy, and I had 2 months off after the tour, so I spent literally the whole 2 months in my studio in my cave, what I call my basement.
Yeah.
And just pumped it all out. Yeah, I just went in for it.
It's funny, you were on tour with Too Fresh, and they just recently released their Airmail album. Did you get a chance to hear any of those snippets while you were both on the road, or was it just so interesting? I mean, you're both out on the road together, and then suddenly you come up with these albums, and you have no idea what the other group has been up to.
I don't know. Actually, I think they wrote all those tunes after we got off the road. They've been having all sorts of crazy things happen with their laptops, so I think they just recently wrote all those tunes, so I didn't get the chance to hear any of them while we were on the road.
I wonder, how is this EP different? What sort of change does it represent from Silver Lining, which came out on Moody Music last fall?
Silver Lining was, I'd say I was experimenting a lot more and trying to figure out, you know, where my head's at and all that, and it actually came about from being sick of writing aggressive music, and I was just listening to so much of it, and just it was surrounding me so much that I sat down in the studio and was feeling incredibly uninspired to write any of it. So I just decided to do whatever comes out, and I started just messing with little, like I would record a sound and then into audio from a synthesizer, and then, you know, mess with it and then chop it up and then just make some sort of crazy sound out of a, you know, synth sound that doesn't sound anything like the original thing, and warp that into different little melodic tones and just see what happens, and just trying to like really experiment and not go for any structure or formula or anything like that. And that's how that came about.
It certainly seemed a lot more chill, I guess you could say, than some of the other stuff. It had a lot more of the down tempo feel and a lot more melody than maybe people were used to.
Yeah, definitely. It was great. You know, I was definitely feeling it, but I got a lot of good feedback, but a lot of the response that I got also was from the dubstep kids and all that, being like, oh man, there's, you know, these beats aren't aggressive enough or whatever. And
are they ever aggressive enough for the dubstep kids?
Never. But, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, I was just doing something different, and that's what I was feeling at the time, and that's where my head was at, so that's just kind of what came out. And with this new one, with 58 Degrees, it's a little bit more raw and a little bit more, I want to say, urban in a way. And I don't know, it's just where my head was after touring from 3 months and being on the road and feeling a little bit chaotic and ungrounded and all that. And it was just a way for me to channel that energy and ground myself out.
Absolutely, yeah, you can hear that in it. Finally, you were giving away the album, which came out on False Idol Music, but you decided to also put it up on Bandcamp so people could donate money to the earthquake relief effort in Japan. First of all, why did you decide to do that, and how has the reaction been so far?
Well, the reaction's been great, man. A lot of people have downloaded the album, and a lot have donated. We raised about $500 or $600 so far in the last 3 days, and it was just, I don't know, initially I had this, you know, I'm starting my new label, and I just kind of wanted to give the music out for free and just kind of see what happens, and I don't know, I just kind of wanted to step out of what I've been normally doing and just kind of put it out. I don't know, it just kind of felt right to do that. And then a few days ago, like last couple, week and a half ago or whatever, when the crazy earthquake happened and the whole incident in Japan, it just totally woke me up. And I don't know, I was just kind of thrown off by it and I was moved by it and wanted to help in any way I can. And I initially tried to see if we could start charging extra money at the doors, or if I could donate a certain percentage of that, and it was just all too complicated. So I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to give out the EP for free, and if people want to donate money, they can. And that's, you know, that's what will happen with that. And it's been great so far.
Absolutely. Well, Tigran Mimosa, thanks so much for being on the UNTS Podcast.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. Special thanks go to Justin Bosch with End It Management and, of course, my guest, Tigran Mimosa. His latest EP, 58 Degrees, is out now on False Idol Music. If you go to Mimosa's Bandcamp, you can download the album and make a donation to the earthquake relief effort in Japan. Coming up next week, Psytrance icon and Twisted Records recording artist Benji Vaughn will be on the program. His younger brother project with legend Simon Possford is about to release their much-anticipated album Vaccine on April 11th. They also will make 4 U.S. stops on their tour: Baltimore, New York, Philadelphia, and Denver. You can win tickets to each of those shows at theunz.com. Remember to visit theunz.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. You can still win tickets to see Mimosa with Arch Nemesis at the Bourbon Theater in Lincoln, Nebraska on April 13th, as well as Summer Camp and Wakarusa Festival passes. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, or you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, contact me at anand@theunz.com. That's ANAND @theunz.com. Catch you next week.